All right, welcome back. AA Podcast.
Batteries for your social life.
I'm Andy.
I'm Andrew.
And this is episode 126 of AA Podcast. In the context of season 5, this is episode Laura Chinchilla.
Where's she from?
She's from
Latin America.
Latin America.
How did I know, Andy?
She's a... because her name ends in a vowel.
Was she Italian?
Could have been. Was not.
No.
Take an educated guess. You knew it wasn't... what's his name? There's a guy from Italy who's like under a bunch of... I guess they probably had to replace him. Silvio
Berlusconi.
Yeah, you knew it wasn't Berlusconi, so...
No, he's not the president anymore.
I mean, who's to say? With Italy, I mean, who knows?
It's the mafia.
I mean, it's a lot of things. It's basically whoever the coach of AC Milan is, right?
No. I mean, Juventus is the most successful team in Italy.
Right now.
Always, historically.
Really? I thought AC Milan had like 26 championships.
No, Juventus is far more... like, AC Milan is the most successful internationally.
So, oh, I see. Maybe that's what I was thinking.
Like, AC Milan's won every international tournament that can be won.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Juventus has won, I don't know, they've won a fair share, but not as many.
I see. Regardless, this is about Laura Chinchilla, not AC Milan and Juventus, Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Gregorio Napolitano is the Italian president.
Well, again, it's for another day.
Just a weird-looking white guy.
Laura Chinchilla is an attractive... she's 54 years old. She's a nice-looking young woman. She's more attractive than every other head of state we've covered.
She seems pretty attractive.
I mean,
as far as this, like the head of state scale, which is like grading on a curve.
It's a sliding scale. It's
grading on a curve.
It's the inverse of like the, you know, like people say like celebrities aren't hot, but like clearly they're hot. Mm-hmm. Just not as hot as you would want them to be. Like, ugh. She's not that great, but I mean, I guess she's the head of state, so you gotta... that kind of a little slack. Mm-hmm. Dude, with a lot of stress. And I can't exactly remember what the president of South Korea looks like. Mrs. Park? Or Miss Kim? Choi?
Nice one, Andy. Why don't you get another stereotypical Korean name?
Kim?
You want to run out?
Kim again. Ko?
Yeah, you'd probably go Laura Chinchilla, but the South Korean seems nice as well.
She's very Catholic. She's a
the South Korean, or no,
the Costa Rican is Catholic. I don't... look, I'm glad you're sitting down for that. The room is spinning.
Yeah, probably.
She doesn't really support...
she went to Georgetown.
She didn't go to Georgetown. She went to the University of Costa Rica and then got her master's at Georgetown, which I sort of feel like makes me feel a little bit better about not having gone to Georgetown or like a crazy fancy university like that. Like having no shot at it.
Because it's like national,
like
politicians.
Yeah, like I wasn't really in the mix for like a like big state school.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, I worked a little bit harder, like maybe like, you know, things would have worked out differently, you know,
mm-hmm.
in like the equation of high school, but never like at any point was I ever going to like Georgetown or anything like that. But it's like, well, you know, Georgetown has like international politicians who are going to like lead countries going to it. Like, well, I mean, that's not me. That's not my life plan. My dream chart. On my board, you
more
know?
Postgraduates than undergraduates for Georgetown.
But the point being, she's against any legislation that separates church and state.
Does she want to raise an army? Because I know they don't have one of those.
No, they actually... so Nicaragua's to the north of Costa Rica, and they don't like each other. There's actually some like disputed land there, and Nicaraguan president's running for office, so like as a stunt, he's like occupying that land. Costa Rica is like, that's bullshit. They start building like a road,
mm-hmm.
and declare like a state of emergency, so then they don't have to like
draft,
follow rules. Like there's no oversight. They're just like, we're doing this now. And what they do, because they don't have a standing army,
mm-hmm.
they're like, International Court of Everybody. Nicaragua.
Dang.
Nicaragua's fucking around. Can you stop, make them stop? Which I kind of like. It's kind of a pussy move. But I also kind of like it.
Well, I mean, it does. For, let's just say, for Central America, it leads to not having a dictatorship if you don't have an army.
I guess probably like the decision, the twin decisions of their constitution formed in 1949 to not have a standing
longest
army.
Longest serving or longest running Central American democratically elected government.
Yeah, like they've kind of kept it going for like 60 years now, which is like, hey, that's, well, that's like head of the class.
As far as in like Latin America, yeah.
That's everybody going to fucking Georgetown. Or that's Costa Rica going to Georgetown and everybody else in Central America going to, you know, Clear Lake. Like me over here. Or whatever community college may be there. I mean, just fucking holding it down.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe you don't need an army. Maybe America's like, we've got it. So, okay, so... Canada gets one because, okay, fine, Canada gets one. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a part of Britain. They're like grandfathered in America.
They have like an aircraft carrier. We've been over this.
This is what I'm saying. Canada, fine, they get one. America, we get one. Then what? Brazil?
As far as this hemisphere?
Yeah, the Monroe Doctrine. Brazil gets an army. And then
Argentina.
I guess. But then if you give Argentina one, then you kind of have to give like Uruguay one and like Venezuela one.
I mean, everyone can have an army.
No, I feel like Brazil, Canada, and America get together. I think Mexico gets one. They probably need one to fight the cartels, honestly.
Yeah.
They get one, but then like 75% of it has to be dedicated to fighting cartels. And then they can have like 25% to like be corrupt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so those four countries. Maybe then there's like a fifth country that rotates and gets an army.
It rotates?
Yeah, like, okay, Chile, like, this is your year.
Shouldn't there just be like a unified Latin American army?
I don't think they'd ever, because they'd all like complain about the different kinds of Spanish. You speak too fast, or you speak too slow. Like, you don't use the, you know, so-and-so tense. You say a key, I say a ka.
Fair enough.
I mean, if we could translate, you know, let's call the whole thing off into Spanish, I think that would have to be the first step. And then we can have a unified Latin. Actually, I don't know if I really like that, though.
A unified Latin American government?
Eh, who am I kidding? What am I afraid of? That's a joke. Sure, do whatever you want.
I don't think we'd ever be able to get off the ground.
No, look, with our support. Andrew,
I don't think they would want our support.
They don't want American ingenuity and hard work.
No, because like most of Central America, most of Latin America is kind of like standoffish with America
because of all the banana republics and the CIA and the dictators we've helped prop up.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a part of us like restoring our record.
If you want,
Chris Christie, the new leader for Central America.
Chris Christie.
Yeah, well, I just assumed.
I mean, this is not like a Ted Cruz or something.
He's got no, a Latin Ted Cruz name. Not winning any national. That's a joke.
All right, what about the other dude? Some other Rubio?
I mean, that's more realistic. I mean, I guess the Rubio would kind of. Maybe Rubio will get appointed.
Some other Latin American names around
maybe,
there.
Maybe Rubio will be like Secretary of State for President Christie, and mm-hmm. then he'll be like the point man for all of it because he like kind of speaks Spanish. Poquito. Just one more thing about Laura Chinchilla, something I really love. She's been married to her husband since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
She really loves her son as well, who's 17 years old.
So not born in 2001.
No.
Born
in 1996.
Not born post. Before 2001.
Way before. His son was probably in the wedding.
Fast and loose with that.
That's awesome, though. I like that. I like the politicians having a little mean streak. Like, she's a busy woman. You know, like, she has time to fuck. She's not taking birth control.
I don't have time for it.
Don't have time for birth control.
Nobody got time for that, man.
I mean, she's a woman of her word. You know, I mean, that would be a huge scandal. She's like on the pill. But she doesn't want anybody to have like a plan B pill or anything like that, you know?
Well, I mean,
so I mean, applaud if they're the consistency. So
staunchly Catholic, it's not particularly surprising.
Exactly. Well, I'm not saying it's not surprising. I'm just saying it would be hypocritical of her to not, because clearly she's fucking. She's a woman in power. She, you know,
it's gonna get down.
She's stressed out. I understand that. I empathize with that. So
yeah, I'm glad you have. She has your support and approval.
Not support. Let's not go too far. Just not support and approval.
Oh, who, I is just she like too conservative for you.
She's a little too anti-gay and anti-abortion for me. A little too Catholic, essentially. But no, I just appreciate like a little bit of a mean streak, a little bit of like a devil may care attitude. You know,
devil may care attitude.
Look, I think everybody would benefit a little bit from a devil may care attitude. And then describing themselves as such. Also helpful.
A head of state really benefit from that?
I mean, look at the term of President George Bush. Mm-hmm. Unbridled success. He seemed to have a devil may care attitude.
But you don't like George Bush, Andy.
I would describe myself as in the majority on that opinion. It still works if you want to be like a cartoon character, though. I mean, I don't like George Bush as far as how he affected and changed the world, but I like George Bush as far as like, well, that was really weird and crazy.
Like, so is this like novelty?
Yeah, like so whenever it was kind of becoming more and more clear that John Kerry was probably going to lose the 2004 election, the silver lining for me was like, well, I mean, let's just see how crazy this thing's going to fucking get. You know? Like, are we going to attack Iran? Maybe. We might. Never did.
What do you want to attack Iran?
I mean, it's like, just like with the debt ceiling or the government shutdown. Like, I just want to, let's just fucking get crazy with this then. Like, if you want to get crazy. The
government's back to work now.
Oh, they figured it out?
Yeah.
Good for them.
Solved. Fixed.
Well, like, kick the can down the road.
Fixed.
So it's like until like January 5th.
Fixed, Andy.
Until next year. Guys, we have until like next year before we have to deal with any of this shit again.
Shit's fixed.
For like 8 weeks.
Forever.
Forever. I just want it when with anything like that, like, fine. I don't really care if it wrecks the country. Cause like what? My life, I'm going to become more poor. Like, mm-hmm. Things are going to get like way worse. Like the difference between how much better it could get for me and how much worse it could get for me, I'm already like so close to how much worse it could get for me.
Mm-hmm.
The drop's like not that. I'm like, you know, you just drop me into like the 3 foot side of the pool, not like in the deep end. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let's just fucking see how crazy it gets and just have one party get fucking destroyed. Whoever that may be. The Republicans.
Yeah.
But Andrew, we're not here to talk about politics.
I think you kind of are at all times, at all points.
At all times? Really? You think so?
Yeah, I feel you are.
I mean, I don't certainly have opinions about it.
I think you're ready to go at any point. Anytime.
Not in mixed company. I feel kind of uncomfortable talking about it in mixed company.
I don't think you are.
And at work, I certainly pull punches.
Oh, it works.
Nice. I mean, I call the banking industry evil. I'm almost on a regular basis.
Yeah, I don't think you really, you know, I think you kind of enjoy it and relish it.
I think that's just being slightly smarter than other people.
So, I mean, however you want to justify it, I just kind of...
Sure, okay. What's more egregious to you? Today I explained sort of the, not the specifics of the debt crisis, but that it existed. Mm-hmm. That, like, this thing is happening or has been happening for the past 2 weeks, or happened for a 2 week period. And they're like, oh, wait, what's happening? Like, well, there are two sides and they're arguing about this. And some are doing it as like a principled stand on their beliefs, and others are like being like pragmatic mm-hmm. about it, and they're disagreeing about that. And or explaining and sort of defining time zones.
Wait, what?
So I did both of those things today.
Explaining time zones?
Like Pacific. Let's say the Pacific time zone is 8 o'clock. That means the Mountain time zone is 9 o'clock. And the Central time zone is 10 o'clock. And
who'd you Eastern have to explain that to?
Like multiple people where I work. And Houston and Chicago are examples of places that would be in the Central time zone. And Denver is an example of a city that would be in the Mountain time zone. And New York or Miami or Washington, D.C. are examples of cities that would be in the Eastern time zone.
There, this is really like
these. Those are things that I said today.
Okay.
Do you think so? Do you feel like times? Judging by your reaction, I feel like.
Well, just like who doesn't know about time zones?
I don't. I mean, like if you watch TV, right, you should be aware of that.
If you've lived in America for fucking through high school, you should be aware of that.
I don't think they teach that though, do they?
How do they? Like, how do you not fucking run into that? Over 18 years.
If you only live, like, in one place.
How could you not know that? Like, haven't you ever been like, God damn, it's annoying that this football game starts at 10 a.m.?
I guess. Maybe. I mean, if you're a girl, so you don't care about football?
Whatever. Like, how about any major event ends at, like, fucking 6 o'clock in California?
Yeah.
Because it started, like, 4 hours earlier.
I mean, I can look. I totally get Mountain time zone. If you forget that, sure. That one kind of doesn't matter.
That's because it's only like four states.
No, I mean, there's more than four states, right? It's like.
No, it's like four states. It's like Colorado, Utah, maybe Nevada, and that's about it.
New Mexico. I'm sure like part of Montana, part of Idaho, maybe Wyoming.
Yeah, like a bunch of flyover states that no one gives a shit about.
It's more than. That's like eight states. Clearly more than four.
Okay, it's twice as many as four.
Look, I'm just saying, if you said, like, look, hey, 3 million Jews got killed in the Holocaust. Like, no, it's 6 million Jews, Andrew. It's twice as many. That's it's a big difference.
Not even
twice
same.
As many as a
it's
big
not
difference.
Even the same.
Just because you're misremembering the Holocaust.
Not misremembering anything.
In that example. I mean, it's fine. It just seems, I mean, I don't think it's something that I totally agree. It's something you should definitely have run into at some point just by like living in the world or like essentially flying on a plane anywhere. I guess if you're like in Los Angeles, maybe you only have flown.
There's 14 Mountain Time states.
Really? Oh, because there's just like little bits of like.
Texas and a couple other places.
Oh, really?
Like El Paso.
Huh. Fucking El Paso. What a rogue nation that is.
El Paso's just way the fuck out there.
Yeah. Fucking Texas.
And a lot of Texas has been so big. A lot of Canada seems to be in Mountain Time.
Oh, like Heartland Province. I don't even fucking know what a province is.
It's like a state.
Why just call a state?
Well, it's because they're like Canadian.
Get with the winning team.
All right.
Like, just think of how good our hockey teams would be.
Okay, I don't give a shit how good the hockey team is. They're already like the second best hockey team in the world.
Yeah, but the Canadian team would then like continue to skate away from everyone.
The Canadian team? So we become Canada?
No, they become us, but like then they can take pride in their national team.
I don't understand what you're trying to say.
Their hockey, they're by combining with America,
yeah,
the national team
they become Canadian.
No. They would become American. So, you know, you'll combine all the hockey teams. So they're rooting for the American team because they're now American. They love hockey. Mm-hmm. The team's fucking badass. We'd have like a B team that would fucking roll people.
Yeah, we already have a B team that rolls people, though.
Yeah, but it's just even more than it was.
Who cares?
They do.
Yeah, don't care.
Like, I don't care, but it's benefits for them.
Is it?
Yeah. How is it not? And you get to call your province's states finally. There's probably people jonesing for that, Andrew.
I don't think there's anyone jonesing for that.
Oh, you just have the finger on the pulse of the Canadian public.
How many people in Canada really want to join the United States?
How many people have specifically said they don't want to do that?
Well, that's just like, now you're just avoiding the question.
Look, I say we just put in a bid and let them decide.
Have you ever thought that maybe adding so many different people from so many different places and like putting in a bid when we can't even pay our own debts is like going to destroy the American identity?
No, because the American identity is one that's like perfectly built to take on more.
Yeah, but we've kind of been sitting pat at 50 for a while now.
And I'm not satisfied.
Why aren't you satisfied? Why aren't you we've satisfied been sitting at being pat for... the greatest country in the world?
Because if you're not growing, you're dying.
But no one else is growing. Who's growing? Who's getting bigger?
China.
I mean, because their population's growing?
Yeah. And they're, like, collecting our debt.
I mean, like, okay, so you're afraid of China.
Yeah.
So it's all because of you have, like, a fear of China.
No, well, I think there's somewhat legitimate, like, they are legitimate superpower.
To say China's... is, like, so you want to have $1 billion or $1 billion piece of nation for the United States? And then, like, sacrifice any sort of, like, ability to take a care appropriately for the people within our
country. Well, we already don't give a shit about that, so it's not... It's
like, if we add $1 billion, you think it's going to get better?
I mean, it's currently... or well, it's been at a standstill for 25 years. People don't seem to care, so...
I think people care. They just passed on the legislation for it.
Well, right, but I mean, like... It took a long time. And then we're also in, like, a crisis where, like, half the country's, like...
Is it 25 years, like, pretty quick? Like, pretty quick to change?
No.
I think for, like, a country sense, it is.
I think we're the last industrialized country to have, like, any kind of, like, government form of health insurance.
Like, that surely can't be the case.
As far as, like, the first world nations, it's absolutely the case. Like, we're, like, by far and away the biggest one, so it's, like, a complicated way to, like, go about it. And, like, we're also, like, slightly more...
I don't...
Like, we're not as...
Like, so does China has a universal healthcare system?
No, they're not, like, a first world nation.
Yes, they are.
I...
But they're, like, with their GNP and all everything that they have? Like, how can they not be?
Because, like, so much of their country is, like, rural and just, like, lives in, like, abject poverty.
So, they can't, like, they're like a superpower, but yet not a superpower.
Well, part of their power is, like, the amount of debt that they hold over us and, like, can leverage that. And, like, the economic opportunity that they have. Like, the potential for growth. Like, I don't think that they've passed America, but, like, in, like, 100 years from now. Like, if China, if we've reversed positions and, like, China's, like, way ahead of us, like, would that be the most surprising thing? Like, no.
Well, it just seems like it's sort of like a, you know, you can have it one way, but then you can't have it another way.
Well, I mean, China's, like, not completely industrialized.
I mean,
like, they're, like, in a revolution right now. They're, like, in the process of that, but they're still, like, you know, in the equivalent of, like, you know, the 1860s. You know what I mean? Like, they're, you know, like, who's to say?
I mean, I don't really know what you mean because I, like...
Well, like, people are still, like...
It, I don't think you can have it both ways.
In what way?
You can't have it in saying that they're, like, this superpower that has so much debt control over us and everything else.
Well,
and
they have, like, $1 billion in American savings bonds, so they absolutely do have that.
Okay, that's fine. But then you have to acknowledge them as, like, a first world leading power. And then thus, you know, if you compare our situation to their situation, it seems like it's pretty good.
Right, but it's also, like...
Like, I don't think America has it that bad. And no, apparently, you think it does and should keep up with the Joneses.
No, it's just, like... Why not expand if we can?
Because it, like, destroys the American identity.
But the American identity is one of give us your poor, give us your tired, and like
I'm not saying like I'm not saying alter. I'm not saying alter. I'm not saying alter the immigration policies. I'm saying why do we need to like land grab?
Because, well,
like
because
we did that, like we did that, and we became like an imperialistic power, and no one liked us for that. Do you want to go back and do more of that?
Well, I mean, not imperialism, just purchasing.
Like you're saying, like putting in bids, like they're like countries are just selling themselves off.
Get with a winning team.
Like, no, why would they want to do that? Why would they want to join? Like, if our healthcare system's so bad, why would they want to fucking join us?
That's probably actually a very big hurdle that we'd have to clear. But I mean, I'm just saying. Like, look,
it seems weird.
If they say no, they say no. It's fine. You just put in a bid.
It just seems weird.
Look, it's just a thumbs up or thumbs down. You know, like, we'll just.
But why are we, like, why are they even asking it? Why would they even entertain the idea of it?
Because it's a lot of money.
It's not a lot of money.
It would be a lot of money.
But depending how on, would it be a lot of
depending
money?
Depending on the country.
Like, how would you even justify how much a country is worth? Mm. Like Canada has a $1 trillion economy.
Yeah.
How can we pay for that? How can we possibly buy that?
Well, it's an install. It's like buy a car.
Like, our government just shut down for 2 weeks, and we're asking, like, we're going to put in a bid for Canada.
Well, I mean, like, France basically does that every September. So, I mean.
France doesn't shut down.
Well, Spain.
Well, Spain has a governmental mandated shutdown every single day.
But I mean, you know what I mean. It happens. It's 2 weeks. It's like, you know, you have snow days during the school year, so then your spring break's just shorter. You have those makeup days built
in.
Yeah,
that seems weird. It seems odd. It seems like that shouldn't happen all the time.
With the snow days or with the...
No, with the shutdown.
Oh, no. I mean, it's egregious.
It's happened twice in...
like 20 years.
Yeah.
18 years, whatever. The other one wasn't as long. I feel like that was like 5 days.
What?
I feel like the first one in the 90s wasn't as long.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea. I was like 10.
Yeah, I feel like it was like 4 or 5. I don't know. I haven't read about it enough.
I was like a kid.
Look, I'm just saying, greatest country in the world. Not that we don't have our problems, which we do, just like everybody. Well, join the party. Let's go. I don't want, like, basically, I don't want to have to renew my passport. I got to do it by the end of the year. And the more we expand, the less incentive I have.
You know, so that's the only reason.
If I want to go to a Vancouver.
That's the only reason you want to expand.
Well, I mean, and it'd just be cool.
I don't think it, why would it be that cool?
You wouldn't, basically, we're just going to get to, like, we're running it.
I mean, I don't want that.
You don't want to be like, we did it? We unified the world?
No.
And it's just the American flag?
No, I don't want that.
Why not?
Why do you want to crush every single other community's like identity?
I'm not talking about going to war.
Well, like...
I'm just absorbing them and slowly Americanizing them until they don't
really
remember their identity.
Like, that's
already
happening with globalization, but it's just like...
Yeah.
Like, why do you want... Like, I don't see why that's necessary.
Because globalization's too, like, gray. I want, like, a black and white. Like, the borders are redrawn. Oh, like, hey, remember this map from 1995? It's so crazy.
Yeah, it seems weird. I don't really want that.
Okay. I mean, look, that's fine. Hey, look, to each his own. That's what America's all about. I'm not trying to impose on your freedom of speech. But you say, just write it down on a piece of paper. We slide it over on a table to their prime minister or president or...
I think you underestimate how much countries are worth.
Look, again, I'm not saying it's a one big payment. You know, Obama's not driving up in a pickup truck filled with, like, barrels of money.
Well, even the installments, I don't think you could, like...
You just budget it in.
How do you budget it in?
Well, that's, like, that's a part of why we need to get the government shut down, taken care of, and raise the
debt. I
mean,
if you want to talk about
bit.
Going to war and taking it over, okay, that's fine. That's one thing. You could probably do that, but I don't think you could fucking do...
I think we could blow it up pretty good. I don't know about, like, taking it over after that.
I'm sure they'll figure it out.
I mean, if we just kill enough people, they're like, oh, fine, we'll just be a part of your country now.
I'm sure it'll go off without a hitch.
Well, look, I think the blowing up part would be fine.
The actual getting the...
Yeah, the,
we took your
the
capital.
Converting it into, like, sewing the star onto the flag would be a little more tricky.
Yeah, it doesn't seem worth it to me.
I see what you mean about me wanting to talk about politics, though.
You want to talk about politics every single time. It's basically a comment every time in this podcast.
In my defense, we've opened the last 22 podcasts by talking about politics.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a little bit of a trap for me.
It's a little bit of a trap for you.
Like, you're going to put like a delicious hamburger on a bear trap and then get mad at me because you keep having to take bear traps off my hand.
You're also the one that came up with the politician one.
No, dude, that was... I would like to check the tape on that. Because I believe we did that live on an episode.
Yeah, it feels like you, though. I'm going to go with you.
I feel like we were talking about doing, like, dead leaders.
You care much more about it than me, so I think you probably...
I feel like you... Well, it's not that you don't care about it. You just have a more... You're fine with the status quo, I feel like. And I want to shake things up.
Yeah, I don't see what your constant need for, like, dramatic change is.
If you're not growing, you're dying.
But that's clearly not even true.
Well, it's true for churches. I don't see what's not true for...
I mean, a church is different.
Church is just, like, a much smaller scale.
Like, I mean, how long has England existed as a country?
1,000 years?
Give or take. So they're not growing, they're dying? Well, they, like, expanded themselves and reduced themselves, and then now they're still going.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that they're dying.
How are they dying? They have, like, the strongest currency in the world.
Yeah, but they also have, like...
the highest tax rate.
I don't know how many wars England could win.
I mean, like, who are they fighting? Who are they going to fight?
France?
Like, America?
They wouldn't be against fighting France.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, I don't know who they're going to war with.
Well, I mean, didn't some terrorists blow up some buses there or something? Subway?
I mean, they went to war in Afghanistan.
Yeah, we did that. Thanks. Well, Everybody, fuck off.
They went to war with us.
They sent, like, some tea or something. Like, whatever.
No, they sent one of the princes over there. He was great. There.
Hey, look, good bully for him in their parlance.
He was over there. He's running around.
He was ordering people. Okay, look, fine. We'll drop the politics. Let's talk about something much more near and dear to our heart. Racism.
Oh, this is a political issue as well.
I would describe racism as more of a social issue.
But that's, like, kind of now been bred into being one and the same.
Well, but I mean, social issues are... it's not purely political.
It's not purely political, but when they've, like...
Football for politicians, certainly.
Yeah, it's a social, like, it's, and now social issues are political issues in every sense, like, every shape.
Right, but it's not purely political. I think it's social, and then it gets sucked up into a political context pretty easily, but...
I think immediately.
Well, okay, let's be the judge. Is this racist? Going to work at the Banana Republic, getting ready for work, putting stuff in my locker... Anastasia, an African-American coworker, comes up to me and is like, "Oh, why do you seem so much taller than me today?" And I'm like, "Oh, is it because, like, you know, you're not wearing all your, you know, stiletto heels that you're usually wearing?" And she's like, "Andrew, I'm Andrew at work because I want to keep, like, an arm's length distance away from everyone emotionally. Andrew, you know I don't wear heels. I never wear heels here." And I was like, "Oh, is it because of your Timberlands that you're not wearing?" So, is that racist?
Yes.
It's not just clever and witty.
It is, but it's racist.
Isn't that... But I've never seen her wear heels. And I say that. I've never seen her
wear Timberlands?
I've never seen her wear Timberlands. It's the same joke.
No, it's not.
Yes, it's... Oh, it's because you're not wearing these shoes that you never wear.
That black people wear.
I don't mind black people wear heels, too.
Yeah, but that's much more amorphous than Timberlands.
Okay. So, on a scale from one of innocently racist but more funny than racist, and 10...
6.5.
Which is, like, using the N-word in a hateful way with, like, yeah, the hard R.
6.5.
6.5, really?
6.
Thanks.
I mean, I don't know.
Should I apologize to her?
I don't know. Did she laugh?
She was like, she was going along with it. She maybe didn't laugh, but she wasn't like offended either. This isn't the worst thing that was said to her that day by someone at Banana Republic.
If someone said something, sorry, I have ice in my mouth. Someone said something more racist to her.
A particular manager makes like several jokes about like weaves and like collard greens and other stuff, like having a big butt. Stuff they feel is less witty as well.
I don't know. Weave humor.
She's patting her head because her head itches.
They made multiple movies about that.
Is there? Oh, it's Barbershop? Is there a Beauty Shop and Beauty Shop 2? Yeah, I guess so. And Good Hair. Still haven't seen Good Hair.
I've never even seen what the movie poster looks like.
It's like Chris Rock and then like women in like the hair dryers like behind him.
Oh, okay.
Like the big bubble. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so that's definitely racist.
Yeah.
Should I apologize to her?
No. It's gone. Moments passed now.
But I can't like go back and be like, hey, I was feeling a lot of white guilt. And
you could.
My life's just so filled with privilege. I mean, it's really inappropriate for me to say things like that to you. I just shouldn't. It's something that I just can't really imagine, you know.
She shouldn't
make light of your situation.
She seemed to take it in good faith, but let's not like
call a spade a spade.
Spade a spade, yeah.
It's also super racist that phrase. Just say if we lived in jolly old England.
Mm, okay.
Thanks to America, though, it's just we're talking about shovels, right? Not black people.
We're talking about cards, right. Playing cards,
an ace. Let's call an ace, right? That's what that means. Okay, so all right, fine. I'm okay with that.
Are you?
I mean, once I said it, it was one of those things where like you know you shouldn't like go back for seconds as far as like cake and ice cream, but then you do it anyway.
So and you shouldn't feel like go back and make another racist comment.
No. I mean, you know you shouldn't do it, but you do it anyway because you want to.
Oh, okay.
Like I shouldn't have said that, obviously. But, like, me just wanting to, like, yeah, guys, look at how fucking hilarious I am.
I made a Timberland's joke.
it's pretty good. Thank you very much. Off the cuff. I'm pointing at my wrist right now for those who can't see. Okay, right there. Off the cuff.
Okay. Wasn't that funny?
I mean, this is probably a bad thing about me, but I do get a little annoyed if people in the moment don't appreciate how fucking hilarious I'm being.
It's the most narcissistic thing you've ever said.
Like, hello, funniest person in the building right here. Just pearls before swine. You know? Or I mean, like, someone will kind of laugh and then, like, walk away. And it's like, what the fuck's the point? You know? And, like, you'll look over and, like, a real human being's, like, laughing their ass off.
Andy.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if you don't know what I mean? Like, you say something that you know in your heart of hearts, like, this is objectively funny.
Yeah.
And it's not like this is only funny to me, or I just made a reference to something that like only I understand, or like whatever, because I certainly do that and I don't get mad in those situations. Mm-hmm. But like one person gets it because they're like an intelligent human being who's engaged in the life that we're living, and everybody else is just a fucking zombie. And it's like, wait, you motherfuckers.
I mean, is it because they're zombies or because it's just not funny, Andy?
I think it's because they're deficient, not because I'm deficient.
I'm not saying you're deficient, but you're saying that, like, is your humor that, like, universal that everyone must laugh at all times and you're, like, the God's gift to the Banana Republic's...
I'm not saying the
God's gift to the Banana Republic's... Is
Banana Republic and Chase? This comes up.
But... Okay, fine. Chase's humor?
As far as, like, though that collection of, like, 25 people or whatever it may be that I work with total... I feel comfortable saying I'm the funniest person.
Okay.
And that's not God's gift. That's not like... Somebody's got to be first, somebody's got to be last, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm probably first on that list. And it's just like, hey, hello.
Appreciate me more.
Like, for a little bit of praise, please. Like, if we took a survey, I feel like, you know...
I don't know, that collard greens guy. He's coming for some pretty...
I mean, look, he's certainly in the running.
Some hot
game. He's got some, you know, some hot takes. But, I don't know, a lot of it's like, hey, remember that episode of Seinfeld? Which I'm totally down with, and I love that. But, I mean, it's not really a joke either. It's someone else's joke.
I'm doing just a jack-off motion right
good.
Now.
Good, it's as you should be, Andrew. So, we watched a little show for this week's sitcom. I guess we never really came up with a title for that.
Sitcom show
analysis. Sitcom show stuff. Analysis.
Mm-hmm.
SSA. The SSA.
Mm-hmm.
SCSA. Sitka. Whatever.
Not everything has to be an acronym, Andy.
Look, I'm just... Sometimes...
Are you in the Army?
Acronyms are helpful. It's worth a shot. I don't think Sitka works, so I'm going to drop it now.
Okay.
I mean, but look, NASA works just fine, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty successful. I mean, you just look, it's like spaghetti on the wall. See if it sticks. If not, cook it a little bit more and find something else. Watch Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
Another Fox show.
Life is unfair.
Obviously, Bryan Cranston. It's funny to go back and see a young Bryan Cranston. I don't know. What were your impressions? Was it funny?
It was funny.
We saw the season premiere episode of season 3, Houseboat.
Yeah. It was funny. It was better than I remember it being.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me kind of recall actually trying to watch that show a little bit. And I felt that I remember liking it, but that it lasted like 4 or 3 seasons too long.
Yeah, like everybody started getting a little too old. I mean, essentially child actors are like the issue whether or not they are able to act.
If you don't actively progress them.
Right, and then if they like grow out of it.
Yeah.
Then it becomes like a little bit weirder how to deal with that as they get older. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like it was funny. I feel like it was, I guess it's obvious now looking back on it, but, like, looking at Fox, it's just, like, raunchier than I remembered.
Just foxy, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's just, like, a little bit edgier, a little bit more, like, they're all sort of, like, horrible people. Like, they're all, like, pretty intensely, like, selfish and, like, I don't know, just... Not despicable, but just...
They're all pretty despicable.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, like, angry, I don't know, self-absorbed people.
They're all angry, entitled, self-absorbed people.
Yeah.
And they get mad at each other for being that way, for everyone being like that.
Yeah, and I guess I like that sort of deconstruction of it. But then also just, like, there's a part where, like, Bryan Cranston, like, is in a Speedo, like, trying it on and mistakenly thinks he slaps his wife's butt, but then it's actually, like, another woman's. And then I think they're, like, making there's, like, a joke about, kind of a subtle joke about, like, his, like, balls popping out of the Speedo.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, was, like, subtle, but it was certainly, like, there.
Yeah.
And just, like, that sort of, like, edginess, for a lack of a better term.
On, like, 13-year-old girls taking their tops off.
Yeah. No, they might have been 15.
Okay.
small underage girls.
Underage girls taking their tops off.
Yeah, and like the oldest brother like showing off his like hickey.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty funny. I don't know. I mean, multiple storylines going on. I mean, three storylines, in fact. So you have like
the third story. Oh,
the
wife.
Neighbors like don't like each other, yeah, but they're on like the houseboat together. The Malcolm wife. And the dad are fishing, and then the two other boys are trying to get to the cheerleader camp.
Yeah, I get you now.
Oh, and then even like there's the oldest brother who's like at military school, so it sort of has four.
Yeah, there's a lot of storylines.
There's a lot of shit going on, and like a tiny, the tiniest bit of serialization.
Mm-hmm.
Like it sort of leaves on like a cliffhanger to be continued.
Yeah, because the boy, like the eldest son, leaves military camp.
Yeah, he
military.
Like emancipates himself and then like gets the fuck out of there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is this interesting? I mean, I don't feel like this is better than The Simpsons or King of the Hill, but
no, it's like it's admirable.
I mean,
it's a good show. It's just,
would you put it in the top tier?
I don't know if it was funny.
I mean, there are things that were funny.
Yeah, I mean, it had moments, but it
had jokes.
They weren't like laugh out loud things.
Sure, sure.
It seems like it's weird because it walks a fine line of being like just like a serial family show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it's like silly. Yeah, I mean, at times it's like cartoony.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like they're, you know,
like eyeballs are like popping out.
Like, they're like rowing to like a camp in like on floatable, inflatable,
right, like
things.
A Shamu like blow up thing.
Yeah, so I guess that's kind of like silly.
And like the jaw dropping on the floor.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean,
it's clearly a sitcom, but since it's so serialized and so like progressive based, it's almost mm-hmm. just like kind of telling a story. And I don't, like, to me, I guess that's like kind of, if you're telling a story, it becomes kind of cartoony. Like How I Met Your Mother is like that too,
right?
So like, because it's like you remembering it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know, maybe that's just kind of me thinking too much on it.
Well, but I mean,
at times it's just not.
Well, there's
think the jokes kind of fell flat, but that's, you know, maybe just me.
There's also a lot of like Malcolm to the camera.
Yeah, well, he's
which is
a
like
story.
Straight up like Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, he's telling a story.
Sort of, but he's not. He's experiencing it as we are, so he doesn't have any like foreknowledge of like, oh well, this is the time, because like How I Met Your Mother is like technically like all past tense.
Yeah,
so it's like the structure of it is a little bit different. Because like Malcolm is like, he's like always in the present tense of like, well, I feel guilty right now, and I'm not like, I just want to like, you know, talk to my dad about it. Like, oh, hey, dad, what's wrong? Like when he's speaking to us, he doesn't know what's about to happen. But it just any like breaking the fourth wall like makes it like, well, you're about to like jump in a rabbit hole as soon as like someone sticks a gun in your face.
Yeah. I mean,
it doesn't help like the serious nature of it.
It doesn't.
But I mean, at the same time, I don't know. It's not. It seems like the majority of the episode is like, that. Remember the time we were on the houseboat? Like, and then we just never hear about any of that ever again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Reese, like, picks up a girlfriend and then Dewey's, like, sunburned and then that, like, affects the next episode.
Yeah.
Well, or, like, still grounded.
Well, it's him telling a story, essentially, but doing it in a weird way.
Yeah. Well, it's just like a cheat of it, just like allows like to set up like the emotional stakes.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Which is like clever for like child actors to just be like, I feel this, I feel this, I feel this. And then you're like, okay, fine. Like mom's really upset with Dewey. Like, all right, sure. And then like the scene just plays out from there and just like simplifies, you know, the action.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is smart. I mean, obviously, like, what? It went on for, like, 8 seasons or something. So, I mean, like,
it was 7 seasons.
7. I mean, they clearly knew what they were doing. I don't know. I mean, would you put this in the... So, I don't feel like you'd put this in the top tier.
No.
But good, I mean, second tier?
I just didn't think it was funny enough, personally.
No, hey, that's a fair critique. So, I mean, Lightyear's...
Like, I mean, if it was more... If it was more like, yeah, it's deconstruction, if it, but it, like, I mean, if it was more relating it from a past than, like, in this moment, like, because it, to me, at times, it feels like he's telling a story, and, like, he's there, but then he's, like, also kind of remembering it. I don't know, maybe that's just kind of me, like, thinking about it, like how the structure works, but I don't like. I don't know. It, it seems weird to me.
Well, there's never like an old.
There's never an
because
older,
it is weird.
There's never an older Malcolm. No, but it's just like it's odd.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, it's because just, he like he has knowing. Like my dad's relationship and I is like, well, we're different now, or like it changes or whatever.
Like he's too.
Like he's a knowing.
He's too insightful.
Well, no, I mean, he's just a knowing participant of what's going to happen. Is if he's gifted, so maybe he's, like, super, super smart, and he can realize that. But, I mean, it, to me, it's just like, well, there's something, like, how they set up the structure. I mean, they probably, what it is probably they just play by their own rules and how they want to replay it.
Right.
I mean, it's off the bottom line.
Well, it doesn't...
Like, little did I realize at this moment that, like, right. I mean, okay, so it's in the past, but it's in the... You know, that's just, if it was more like lined out, I think it could have been better, but it's just like, it's for whatever fits the system, like the moment.
Sure.
I don't know.
It doesn't get like as Looney Tunes, like Saved by the Bell, which clearly not a family sitcom, but we're like, and Zach's like into camera a lot. But then Zach also is like time out. And then it's like a freeze frame and then he's able to like walk around and like do shit. Like, which is totally fucking bonkers. Like, that is a cartoon at that point.
Yeah, that is a cartoon. That, but he's always in the moment, though, right? Like, to me, Malcolm seems more knowing. Do you get what I'm saying?
No, I that he is sort of hyper aware of everything that's going on.
Well, yeah, like he's knowing in the sense
he's not omnipotent, but of his own situation.
Well, I think he's knowing in the sense of like he's telling, he's like he's remembering a story, and he's remembering himself in the story.
Right, but you know he's never commenting on like the
this is other, what I was
the other plot lines or something.
No, but he's always talking about his own like moment. This is why the structure is so weird.
Right,
if he's not involved in it, he doesn't know about it, so he's just like he's jealous maybe. Like, I'm jealous of them going to that camp and getting them
Making
out. Or, like, you know, whatever it may be. But it's just, like, I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird to me. And, it like, I kind of, like the idea of it. But it's executed. Like, that's executed much better on How I Met Your Mother.
Well, I mean, it's, like, 10 years later as well.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just, like, reading too much into it. But it's just, like, you get what I'm saying. That Malcolm is, like, a knowing...
Yeah, well,
like
he's
character
the main character
in the show.
And also, like, sort of held above. I mean, he's, like, maybe the only person who's, like, truly redeemable of, like, the five, like, people of the family. Like, he's, like, sort of intelligent and, like, you know, may go to college. As opposed to, like, everyone else, like, in the family is, like, lower class. And, like, so he's... you know, his education, quote unquote, or like the amount of like intelligence that he's given by the writers, like the ceiling is much higher for him. Like he may like be base and be like, oh, I just want to make out with this girl, you know, just like his brother Reese. But then he'll also have like moments of introspection and like, you know, self-realization, etc. Whereas like other characters like don't really have a hope for that. And so that also like distorts like who and what Malcolm is. Just like if he never like looked into camera and said anything, that would also like sort of like disrupts like wait, so you're the adult? Like, or you're, he's almost like a third adult, but he's like a kid, so then he can like participate with the kids. But then like,
oh yeah, he's versatile in that sense.
And so again, that's like makes it I sort of like the tone of it. I feel like it's because it's clearly totally different from things like certainly Full House, but then also, you know, The Cosby Show, or even something like Modern Family, which, I mean, Modern Family is more like cynical than like a typical show, but I would say it's more sweet than it is sour. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this just has more of that sort of grittiness or like griminess. Mm-hmm. But not, it's like Married with Children mixed with like a traditional sitcom. Like you have that like sort of 10% like Fox factor, which makes it like different enough that it's sort of like appealing and interesting, you know, tonal problems notwithstanding, there are sort of good things about that as well. Mm-hmm. Then that it's like, well, this is like clearly different. I'm never going to mix this up with like Step by Step.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever thing from the 80s. Just even though it's like all the same, like, I guess it's not Hot Mom and like Crappy Dad, but it's like poor people with a big family who are like not totally educated, but they're trying to like make ends meet, who are like wacky and like can't help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, I get you.
So yeah, I not that I disagree with you, but I feel like it has merit. I feel like it's in the second tier of like good, and you know, if you went back and watched it, you'd probably like have more laughs than not. I don't know if it's definitely worth your time. Like King of the Hill, it's like, well, you should just go back and rewatch all of that, you know,
because
mm-hmm. it's just fucking awesome. But like, I don't know if it's like quite, it's not at that level, but I think it's like a step below that where like, yeah, if you want to dip back in.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying don't go watch it. It's just like, it's odd to me.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, it's certainly something, like you said, it's, the longer you stretch it out, the more weird the bad parts of it are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So like what you were saying, like it's probably gone like two seasons or three seasons too long.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we were to rewatch it, it would become even more evident and more clear.
Probably. Well, because it's just its structure doesn't, like its structure doesn't, it's not clarified to the point where it like can like tell its story long term.
Mm-hmm.
So it needed to fix that or
die.
Yeah.
Well, and there's
like, if you want to be a cartoon, it's fine, be a cartoon, but like when you're not like, when you're 22 playing like a 14-year-old,
right,
it's not really funny anymore, you know.
Well, I mean, there's that, and it's like, well, there's sort of a finite amount of things would sort of have to drastically change for like everyone except this one's a screw up.
Yeah,
I mean, like,
there's no redemption for any character.
Yeah, there's plenty of, like, things you can, like, tell and say and do. But, like, that same sort of premise, like, you can only take that in, you know, five seasons, 100 episodes. Like, that's a lot. You know, and, like, 6, 7, 8.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those 60 episodes are probably pretty lean as far as, like, new ideas.
Yeah.
Houseboat 2.
Well, if you don't want to actually like talk about emotions.
No, I mean, and that's maybe sort of a theme of it. Like, we're a real family. We don't talk about fucking feelings.
Yeah. Well, they kind of do, but it's just like in this weird sense. It's like, well, it's in the cartoony sense.
Well, it's also like in the dad, like buying stuff for his kids to express emotions.
Yeah.
Like, telling you I love you isn't really what I'm going to do. So I'm just going to buy you a present.
I'm going to buy you this fishing rod.
Or I'm going to buy you like a ventriloquist thing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever it may be. Just briefly, congratulations to Gravity for a second weekend in a row winning the box office.
Dude, it's a big deal.
I think some of our viral buzz really boosted it.
I don't know if the episode's posted yet, Andy.
Andrew, that's shocking that you would say that to me. But
well, maybe it was.
I assume it was, and that's why else would it? I mean, it's a quality movie, obviously. People are discovering that, but where do they go? How do they find that out? They go to the Tastemakers. The current
date of recording this, mm-hmm. which is October 16th.
Yes.
Our episode is not posted when we talk about Gravity.
What? You're going to throw stats and figures at me. I know that people go to Tastemakers.
Look, Andy, I'm just going to slide a number over to you.
Okay.
And you just tell me.
Tell you thumbs up, thumbs down?
Yeah, thumbs up, thumbs down.
What's this number represent? Are you buying me?
Stats and figures.
You purchasing me?
Maybe.
I'm out. Andrew, I'm not going to live under the tyranny of being Andrew. I'm a proud people.
Well, you say you're the...
Just because you're better
the,
off.
You're the funniest man in the room. I want to buy that sense of humor.
Well, I appreciate your interest in that, but I'm not going to be subjugated and absorbed by, you know, a bigger, more successful, more stable, you know, personality. I'm going to continue to be erratic and have different, you know, dictators of taste or interest run my life. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems fine. Oh. So that's a thumbs down on the offer.
I haven't looked at the number yet. Oh. Well, I'll have to think about this.
Next podcast.
No, I would never. Well, maybe. I don't know. It would have to be a significant bid.
Well, I'm going to just make you mow my lawn. That's the first step.
This is not.
You got to pay your dues.
It's a lemonade.
You got to pay your dues if you want to join the country.
Sure. I mean, well, I mean, I'm indentured servants, etc., I assume. But I mean, would it? So it would be trash, lawn, like total lawn care, like hedges and the edging.
Yeah, just lawn care. That's were it,
you,
though.
I mean, you wouldn't like me. Do anything else. Oh, that wouldn't even be like trash.
You know, I mean, it needs to look nice.
Well, no, but I mean, like, hey, it's trash day. And no taking it out the night before.
No,
that,
I mean, the yard trash, yeah, but I mean.
Well, like, yeah, you're responsible. Like, it's a part of the yard, but like. In the kitchen, no, I mean, go to the bathroom. I'm expecting you to
empty my trash. Yeah, okay. It's just the yard.
I just like the guy who's such a hard ass about it. He won't let you take it out the night before. It's got to be the morning of.
I might do that. No. You got to get the yard trash out the morning of.
It's in the garage. Would you also like no leaf blower?
No, you can use leaf blower.
Really? I see. I feel like. If we're being like the hard ass.
You can't just blow it into the street. You gotta like, if you're gonna do that, you gotta sweep it up.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. No leaf blower, only broom, like push broom.
Oh.
And like, you know, an appropriate size. Like I have the correct tools.
You can leaf blow to like into a pile
mm-hmm.
and then push broom it up.
That seems, it seems, because once you get it close to being a pile, it seems like you'd, it would be productive to a point and then it would be counterproductive.
There is. You just gotta have like a steady hand with it. You can't get into a pile. You can get into like a massive space,
I see.
And then you can like
then you gotta
sweep it up.
Going with the scalpel.
Mm-hmm.
I see. My devil may care attitude may backfire on me there.
Well, that's what a lot of people just like blow it into the street and then just sweep the street.
Then let nature take care of it.
Well, there's a lot of people that do that too.
Just
like my job's done.
I fucking mowed this lawn. Oh, she's gonna do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have, just briefly, we're towards the end here, but this week, the corporate sponsor was audited. Feel like, hey, look, I don't want to celebrate too soon. Things look good, though.
You're not going to get re-audited for a third time?
I think that's called closure. I don't think there's a third audit. I think that's just your doors are shut. We'll lock them for you. Don't worry about it.
Is that like retraining everyone on staff?
I think it's like shipping out the people you can ship out and then demoting the people responsible for it and then like...
Firing the manager.
Explaining to the government why this isn't going to happen a third time. But no, I think things look good. Things feel good.
Mm-hmm.
My swing feels good. Anyway, auditor comes in. A young woman. She's very, you know, very nice person. Immediately, like, two or three of the different, like, guys, like a banker and, like, a couple tellers, being like, oh, she's cute. Like, oh, man. Just, like, dudes be...
I let her audit me.
Just dudes be, like, when did the one-on-one start? Like, dudes being the worst. Like, the worst guys, because they're just fucking guys. And it occurred to me, this is a perfect scenario for a love triangle movie where what happens when two workers at a bank go and duel with an auditor's heart? And like,
hasn't that been made already?
Sorry, well, look, there's no new stories, Andrew. Nothing new since Hamlet.
Isn't that like Reese Witherspoon movie where two secret agents compete for this one woman's heart?
Yeah. So it's same structure. Like that. Except it's in a bank.
It's in a bank.
A little so calmer.
Boring.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. The idea is that it's not like an action. It's
not funny.
Well, the idea would be that it would be funny. Wait, so you're saying based on the premise, all of the jokes are not funny. I have not heard a single joke. I've only heard what sort of vaguely happened.
Your synopsis doesn't sound funny.
It's a love triangle.
I'm expecting more from funniest man at the bank.
You're against love triangles, Andrew. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not against love triangles, but let's do it in a little bit more of a festive environment.
When you say...
bank, like, what happens funny in a bank? Nothing is funny in a bank.
Well, you're basically... this is like a... you know, you're just taking three talented people and then letting them run with it. Okay. Because it's about professionalism. It's about doing your job. You know, maybe they're having a bet with each other who can bag the auditor. There's a lot of different ways you can go with it.
That doesn't seem professional.
No, I mean, it's about professionalism, the struggle to, you know, maintain that.
To maintain professionalism.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you can't just fuck your way out of any situation.
It seems a little all over the place.
Look, you got to rein
in. There's a lot of competing ideas.
Andrew, you're right. There's only, every script only has one idea that it communicates.
Well, I mean, is it professionalism? Is it the main, okay, so at first it was professionalism. Now it's like maintaining professionalism while trying to like bag a girl. So it changed already.
Well, that's all under the umbrella of what is professionalism.
Okay, so professionalism is a catch-all for all dramatic tension that happens in the show?
It's certainly because they're all working.
Can
it's
they
a
be
working...
British as well? So it's just like Downton Abbey. It's still a lot of like...
Yeah, Andrew.
Well, I want to...
I feel like you've turned the corner and you just cracked the code.
A comedy of manners.
Comedy of manners in a bank.
In a bank.
But it's an American bank. I don't want to deal with the British.
So it's British people at an American bank.
Yeah. Okay. They're the three British people. That's why they have tea together. And there's 10 scenes when it's like, and she's judging
crumpet. Who's passing the crumpet better.
She's judging the bank, but she's also judging them.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe like they have a bet about who can bag her, but then she like comes over the top and the bank like fails the audit. In a final like switcheroo of power.
So she gets it, neither of them.
Yeah, she was like playing them the whole time.
Fair enough.
So themes of like women empowerment in the workplace.
It's a lot of positives there.
I mean, it's certainly a curveball for me. It just occurred to me, and I thought it was pretty funny. That's a good example of like, I thought it was really funny and no one else did, and I did not resent anyone because it's just a me thing.
What?
That like it would be really funny. You know, like the love triangles.
Oh.
And then just like the characters of like, you know, basically the people working at my bank.
The bank characters.
My resentful like descriptions of the people I dislike and their worst qualities like blown up 20 times. Sounds awesome, right? Personal vendettas.
Personal vendetta films sound really good.
I just feel like love triangle is a solid idea. It's not. It's never going away.
It is a solid idea. I just think the setting of a bank doesn't apply.
It's just like, I mean, what? Extract? What is it, like a extract factory?
Yeah, but that's not where like everything happens there.
Well, not everything has to happen in the bank. It's essentially...
At first, you were coming on top like a lot of stuff's happening at this bank.
No, it's an easy scenario.
That wasn't clear.
It's a block of clay right now, and we gotta put it on one of those wheels where we like smoothly rub our hands all over it until it turns into like.
This isn't Ghost, Andy.
I didn't say hug each other until I hug you. cue the Chris Hardwick joke about now that he's dead, that guy. Let's not cue
any Chris Hardwick jokes, because that guy isn't fucking funny.
That's another example of he's funnier. If he walks into the building that I'm in, I automatically go probably like third place. He'll take up first and second because he talks it damn much.
He just talks forever. He's not funny, though.
I think he is funnier than the average.
He's charming, but that doesn't mean he's funny.
I think he's funnier than like you take Chris Hardwick versus a random person. I think he's funnier than them, 85% of the time, 90%
of the time. Yeah, but that's assuming the random person is just like a Neanderthal.
No, I mean, I don't think it assumes that. I think it assumes that Chris Hardwick has take any Major League Baseball player. They're probably better at baseball than 99% of. It's not assuming the person is an athletic. It just assumes that
a Major League Baseball player.
Exactly. I feel like Chris Hardwick is similar. He's
it should be.
He's a professional comedian that tours around and is able to tell jokes for a living.
He's not a Is he really a comedian?
I mean, he has stand up specials. He's certainly. I don't know if he's primarily if the majority of his salary comes from. Stand-up comedy.
I think he's just a television host.
I mean, he's certainly television host. He's in the 99th percentile. But as far as comedian, I mean, he's
I just think the idea that a random it's setting the bar so very low.
Well, in theory, after 1,000 people, you'd have a relative average.
Let's just say if he's the funniest guy at a stand-up, an open mic night. Is he the funniest guy?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's fine then. Because
he's a professional comedian.
The random comedy, the random person one could be well, I just got this guy from, Lithuania.
Right.
This guy isn't very funny.
He's killing in
Lithuania. There's no context there.
In the Lithuanian language, though, if you can understand the puns and the wordplay he's doing, that guy fucking kills. But we're in America, so we don't do that.
So we'll just absorb Lithuania. Just put it in a bid.
I mean,
and then we'll start to slowly understand it.
Who says no?
Or their just culture will just be destroyed, and we'll just never care about it.
I mean, if they really love it that much, why don't they keep it alive?
And whatever those big men, every once in a while they get a big man that can play some basketball. Mm-hmm. He's just an American now.
Sure,
he's the C team center for America.
Yeah, let's send him FIBA, something like that.
This seems weird.
Now you're understanding, Andrew.
Yeah, it just seems strange, and it seems very. Culturally imperialistic, which is odd coming from.
We're already doing it. Let's just.
Yeah, but I don't think we're doing it as actively as that.
No, we just make the best shit, and then that just takes over.
Yeah, but you're talking about buying a country and then actively enforcing,
putting in a bid. They can say no.
Okay, fine. They have choice.
But... Come join the party.
But then as soon as they do join, as soon as it's just
here's your two senators. What's your population divided by 35,000? There's your congressman. Let's redistrict that so make sure they're always reelected. Okay. Now we're done.
Yeah, it just seems culturally imperialistic.
It's they have...
But when they join, they don't have anything. They just this idea, this concept of they can keep it up if they want to. That doesn't seem good enough. It seems like we're going to run roughshod over it because it's too big.
We're already running roughshod. Let's just fucking do it.
That's all a choice. If you don't building McDonald's and then you going to a McDonald's is different than I have no other choice but to participate in this government.
No, well, you do have a choice, though. If you say no, then all right, fine. Bid withdrawn. If you say yes, though, then you said yes. You're
understand that, but then
you should have weighed a little bit more heavily than just, checking one.
But saying, you saying yes and then, their culture's destroyed. That's what you're saying.
It's not an instantaneous thing.
It's not, but over the course of...
Two generations,
it's gone. It seems like a pretty destructive.
Sorry, that I kind of flippantly nodded my head. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah, sure.
No, it's just kind of weird.
I mean, yeah, it's weird, but hey, you know what else is weird? Life.
I mean,
life's pretty weird, man.
It's so abstract. How do you like qualify that? It's
really weird. Just like, what if there's life out there and they're trying to absorb us and we're the ones? We're just trying to, like, we're the Lithuania in the eyes of the heavens.
What the fuck are you
That's
talking
so about? Weird, man. Right? You know what I mean? So we just gotta get out there before they get us. You know what I mean?
No. I don't know what you mean.
That's fair. So this has been episode 126 of Double A Podcast, season five. Episode Laura Chinchilla. Congratulations to Costa Rica for making the World Cup. Proud of them.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of Mexico for really underachieving.
They might make it still.
They look, I think
they're
all
the,
of us.
They're the favorites to probably go through.
New Zealand's all right.
I don't know. I would say like population-wise, they should just go through.
Oh, geez. It's
like New Zealand has what, like, didn't we already do New Zealand?
Yeah, we should probably know this.
Like they Christ have like 4 million people, something like that.
Something like that. I don't know. There's like that many people in Mexico City, like, right?
You did. No, Mexico City's bigger than 4 million people. Mexico City at one point was like the largest city in the world.
Right. That's like Mexico City has like however many people.
Like 4 million people is like the population of Houston.
Right. That's Mexico City is gigantic.
Yeah.
It's as big as New Zealand.
Yeah. I get you. 4.4 for New Zealand.
It's like a Costa Rica sized country.
Yeah.
Costa Rica just beat Mexico. Huh? Look, I'm just saying, they're a basketball town. Basketball city now. Basketball country. There you go. There, I finally properly identified that basketball nation.
Mexico City has 8.8 million people.
It's a lot.
And it's ranked, what is it, ranked second?
Tokyo?
Oh, no. This is states by population. Never mind. In Mexico.
The Mexico Metroplex. Mexico City Metroplex. This is episode 126. You can reach us at all the usual places. At Ballrack.
Mm-hmm. On Twitter. A.W. Delacordia.
Just like the airport. At AA_podcast.
Metro area of Mexico City is 20 million people.
It's like a. Do you think we could just take that off the hands of them?
What?
Or could we just like, what about not all of Mexico, but just like some problem parts?
What do you mean?
It's like
putting in a bid.
It's like a discounted rate. Cartels running that. You don't want it anymore. Take that jurisdiction.
No, they killed that dude, that Zetas guy. They're getting better. It's getting better over there.
Sure, but I mean, it's like, you know what I mean. Like, that's a headache.
Mm-hmm. So the number, do you want top five?
Top three.
Tokyo, Seoul, Jakarta.
Jakarta?
Mm-hmm. Indonesia.
Oh, yeah.
It has 23 million people in metro area.
It's a lot. Yeah. Seoul, really?
And then two Indian cities come out in the next, Delhi and Mumbai, and then Mexico City. Then Sao Paulo, and then the United States is New York.
Tell me, if you're not growing, you're dying.
I think we're doing okay.
I mean, New York's the greatest city in the world. It's just not the biggest.
New York. Yeah. Also, LA comes in at 13 with 13 million.
What was that?
LA comes in 13 with 13 million people. Chicago comes in, doesn't really rank. It has 9.
Yeah.
Dallas-Fort Worth has 6.7. Houston has 6.1.
It really is a small city. You're basically all riding horses in Houston. I don't know. Anything else, Andrew? Anything you got to get off your chest? I feel like I've done a lot of talking. I feel like I've done a lot of defending.
There has been a fair amount of defending for you this episode.
Well, you know, I just have a devil may care attitude. I get myself in these tight spots. Got to wiggle my way out of it.
I mean, I had a brief encounter with a guy at a Coffee Bean when he tried to relate to me with a 9/11 story.
All right, you got me. Reaches all the usual places. Andrew, where were you on 9/11?
Well, his was like, he's talking about this like restaurant that used to exist upstairs from us.
Okay.
Called La Salsa. And he talked about it.
The Salsa?
Yeah, it's called La Salsa.
La Salsa, okay.
La Salsa. And he talks about that. And he talked about going there on 9/11. And he asked me, like, when did that close? And I was like, I don't know. Like, I've only been here a few months, but from what I can tell, it's been passed around for a while.
Does he just tell that story every time he goes? Well, then, hey, you know, it was at the and Salsa.
I, was like, I didn't say this to the guy, but I was like, yeah, that was fucking 10 years ago, yo.
You're a dog.
It was like 12 years ago.
I don't think that restaurant's around anymore. Lots changed.
Is this kind of...
Well, it's just... I mean, how... Well,
like, he, like, talked about the restaurant, and I was like... And he's like, when did La Salsa close or something like that? And I was like,
I have no idea.
I'm not the
former manager of La Salsa now working at a Coffee Bean.
And he was like, oh, I remember going there on September 11th. Nothing was open downtown. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, sir, on this past September 11th, we were open 12 years later. So, good. I'm glad you found us. I'll see you next September 11th, where you come to this building every year.
It's his pilgrimage.
So you can never forget.
Yeah, he's never going to forget. He's going to always buy a latte.
Always remember La Salsa. I mean...
Like, I get it. But it's just like, I understand it's a communal experience for this nation, but it's just like...
But it's not even about that. It's more like he's trying to turn the restaurant into it. Like, the location is more of a communal experience. Hey, you used to work here. And it's like, hey, we both drove on the 10 that one time.
Do you remember September 11th when we were on the 10?
Remember driving in your car during September 11th?
Yeah. It's
just because like we're both American, so we probably own cars and drive them in, like, a Metroplex scenario. Using highways and both feeder roads to, like, get to where you're going.
The dude was odd. That's all I can say.
It's very odd. Okay. Until next week. Never forget.
Let's roll. Yes, no, maybe. I don't know. Can you repeat the question? You're not the boss of me now. 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 And you're not so big. Life is unfair, so I just stare at the stain on the wall where the TV been. But ever since we've moved in, it's been empty.